Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry, because everything we do is
for his glory.
My roots are Jewish. I am a Jew by race and saved by grace, to quote David Yonoff, another Messianic Jew. We'll help you see things in the Bible that will help your studies go deeper and increase the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of your understanding. Knowing these truths are critical, because it's the truth that you know is the truth that's going to set you free. And if you don't know the truth, what do you really know?
Nothing.
What do you really know? Actually, it would be even worse than nothing.
That's right.
Because to know a lie is to live a lie. And to live a lie is to actually hurt people, starting first with yourself. Now, today's teaching is called The Rod of Discipline is Not a Rod. The Rod of Discipline is Not a Rod. And by the time we're done with this show, you'll be a lot closer and prayerfully well on your way to understanding what this is, further your studies, and understand how to discipline, teach, instruct your children in a way that will not anger them, bring them close to you, close, ever closer to you, and to their Father, the Father of their spirit, the Father God Himself, in a right relationship with God. Yes.
It says in the Bible, spare the rod and spoil the child. And you're saying
yes.
It's not a rod?
We're going to develop that thought out.
Okay.
But we're not there yet.
We're ready.
Hold that thought and dish it out at the right time. We'll do it together. Now, let's look at some text, and I want you just to listen to it and think about what's happening here. But I will tell you this, you're on the right track. All right, let's make the case. Proverbs, Mishle, wisdom sayings, in which all can learn. Proverbs, you should read the first 7 verses to really get the framework for what it is. Then you can increase in learning. A wise man will increase in learning. Proverbs teaches us from the wisest man on the face of the earth, Solomon, not counting the Son of God himself, Jesus, who is wisdom itself, personified. Wisdom itself, period. Proverbs chapter 10:13. I want you to listen to many of the verses that are commonly used. People, this is too important not to know. This will bring you closer to your children, whereas the wrong understanding of it will absolutely rip families apart. It'll put Christianity in a bad light. It'll put it in disrepute and disrespect. And it absolutely hurts people, and their children feel like someone's taking the Bible, banging them over the head with it since they're young, and they can absolutely turn away from God. So we're not just talking an academic exercise, but truth that'll change your life and those around you. Listen first, Mishle, Proverbs 10:13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. A rod. Next, Proverbs 13:24. Let's get a number of these on a board first. And careful with your thinking, no periods yet. Proverbs chapter 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his child, but he who loves him disciplines him. Some Bibles would say chastises him promptly or early. That was 13:24. Again, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3 now. Chapter 14, verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. Remember that. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. 22:8. Chapter 22. Let's go there together. Verse 8. We're in Proverbs. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Interesting. 23:13. Let's get them all on a board. Do not withhold correction from a child, but if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Well, are we making our switches and our paddles and our varied instruments as Christians for this kind of discipline, as some would take it? Let's develop the case more. At initial look, without enough study, it would appear to some so, Listen to this again, 23, 13, and 14 together. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And we have the traditional beatings that have gone on around the world.
That's right.
And over the centuries. To this day, people that have beaten their children with rods, I've known some personally. I've dealt with one who took it out of her pocketbook to show me what she uses for her kids. Another who tried to make the case how God told her to do this and how wonderful her kids. Now, they're not maiming and mauling them. So they have a reasonable, in their minds, not mine, degree of physical inflicting of punishment via a rod, a stick, a staff, a switch, a paddle. This looked like a hard rubber flex type material she pulled right out of her pocketbook to show me. People even use their hand. Let's continue. 26:3, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Your Bible and mine. Let's take a look. 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Listen carefully. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Oh, boy. This is intense. Getting this wrong would hurt a lot of people in the name of God. The rod of physical discipline, people, goes on over and over and over in the text here. Or is it really? First, if you cull the Jewish sages, including our studies, over the centuries, to quote one of my Israeli friends, you'll find 90% of them consider this a figure of speech. This is considered as a Jewish idiom, a figure of speech for righteous judgment, God's instructions, not a physical instrument that inflicts pain. This is the problem when the church has cut off their understanding of their roots and being branches grafted in. If in your understanding on a given text as a branch, if you will, you start sawing off the tree, well, what will happen then to the branch?
It would die.
Cut off from a source.
Yes.
We are to draw from all that God has given and understand the language, the culture, the customs, the traditions, and the teachings, or else we come up with some of the most horrendous and heinous understandings that violate the character of God, misrepresent heaven to earth, it really represents hell to earth, and puts our teaching, the teaching of God, into such a light that we who represent God in his teaching, the ministers and men and women of God, faithful throughout the ages in the world today, are put at odds because we are misrepresenting the truth. And if we're misrepresenting the truth, there's somebody called the father of lies in John 8:44, who is very readily desiring to be right there to jump in and, like he did before, even with the Son of Man, twist the scriptures to his own ends. Luke 4, Matthew 4, he's ever present and trying to find, as he goes about, 2 Peter seeking someone who he could devour. And here, we got a bunch of people beating up their kids, hurting them, disciplining them. That is not what this means. It is never what it meant. And it's not going to mean that. And I hope that's clear. Let's bring out initially a teaching, a Jewish teaching from Midrash Rabbah. And this particular teaching, listen carefully to what it says. He who spares his rod from his son, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. This refers to the Holy One, blessed be He, because of His love for Israel, does heap upon them chastisements. These precious gifts which God gave Israel, the Torah, the land of Israel, the life to come, the Torah, for it is written, happy is the man whom thou chastisest. English translation for chastising, instructs, not beats. Chastisement is come from a Hebrew term for musar, musar, M-U-S-A-R. The root of it is yasar, which deals with chastisement. There are severe chastisements, but there are also chastisements that are not. And the context here, and it's also translated like that, in the beginning of Proverbs, chapter 1, if you go to the very beginning, go there with me. Chapter 1, what is the purpose? Chapter 1, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the instructions. Now, wait a minute. To perceive wisdom and instruction. Does it not say that? Or does it say to perceive wisdom and chastisement? Well, that would be a little bit different. What do you think the word is for it in Hebrew here in chapter 1, verse number 2? To know wisdom and instruction. Chokhmah u'musar. To know wisdom and instruction. Instruction here, not chastisement. This is the instruction of God, the teaching of God Himself. So look at it again with me. You'll find Abraham, back to the Jewish teaching, you'll find Abraham chastised his son Isaac, his son, and taught him the Torah. That is chastisement. Also translates properly instruction. You are to chastise him. These are the do's. These are the don'ts. That is the rod of discipline. Number one, and to walk in his ways. Similarly, Isaac used to chastise who? Jacob. How? He would take Jacob, he would look, go early and teach him the Torah and rebuked him. Isn't that interesting? In the schoolhouse, Jewish teaching. I want you to see two definitions. One in your English Bible and one, a better understanding of the word here. Musar, again, M-U-S-A-R. Chastise, instructs, teaches. Now, what does this sound more like God to you? Let's take the last one we did first. Chapter 29, verse 15. Chapter 29, verse 15 in Proverbs. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The rod and rebuke. What does it say in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17? All scriptures God breathed and is profitable for teaching, instruction, reproof, correction. In order that the man of God may be adequate, furnished for every good work. Oh, the scripture, the Torah, is what God gives us in order to teach us and rebuke us and correct us. That's the teaching of God. And the application of that is by instruction or by teaching. What are you teaching? What are you instructing? The Torah, the direction, the Bible, the Word of God. That is how you are chastising. You are instructing the child. We hear the word chastisement, whack. You know, that's chastising. No, that's pain.
Yes.
Pain does not change behavior. Pain inflicts punishment. Yes.
And fear.
And fear.
And fear is not from God.
And fear is not from God.
That's right.
And does not God tell us, do not provoke your children to?
Anger.
Yes. What would happen if a parent came home and every day decides they're going to chastise their child or son for every little thing or big thing they do and absolutely beat them every day? Whether it's pummeling them or smacking them in the face, or you want to use a heavily padded area, their buttocks? Is that any different? That shames them, and it hurts them.
Makes them angry?
Sure it does.
And it also can murder them, kill them, their spirit.
It'll crush their spirit.
Yes.
All the way up to that, all the way up to.
Yes.
This is not from God. Does this sound like God?
No.
This is not what God does. You'll find it with me in the book of Ezekiel. When the Jews are called back into the land, God says, and they will pass under my rod when they enter the land into judgment. God's not sitting there with a big stick. The rod of judgment, the rod of his teaching. You come back into the land. This is what you should be obeying. These are my instructions. The word itself will judge you. Thank you, Lord. Does not God tell us if you decide not to live by grace, you'll be judged by the law? If you don't keep all that God has written in his Torah, then you are responsible for it and it will judge you in the last day? That's the rod. The rod is the instruction, the teaching. God says, I'm going to put my rod over you when you come back into the land. We're going to see if you measure up to this teaching, and it will judge you. Somebody jumps off a cliff. Gravity's in effect.
So in the Bible where it says, spare the rod and spoil the child, that's actually teaching the child the Bible?
Danielle is quoting Proverbs 13:24. Says in this version, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him. Or some of your translations, what? Chastises him promptly, which really promptly can also be translated diligently or early. It's just something you would do early in the day. Well, you're supposed to teach them early. It says, he who spares his rod. The rod, you are a parent. You represent God. You are to emblify God, his teachings, his rules, his instructions. 22:6 in Proverbs says, train up a child in a way he or she should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Old, which we learned from an earlier teaching, when you come to be able to fulfill the Torah and its obligations, its commandments, at age 13, boy, age 12 for a girl, you are responsible for those commandments to keep them. So here it says what? You are to train up a child in a way he or she should go. Not in a way you think they should go, in a way they should go. So a parent is given by God special insight into that soul. You are to know their heartbeat, their soul, their purposes, what makes them laugh and cry and live and get their world done before they die, unless the Lord comes first.
It sounds like the rod refers to biblical teaching. So if a child does something wrong, you should be teaching them things of the Bible to make them act right. Can you give us an example of how you would use the rod of the Bible to a child who just lied to you, a really big lie?
If I were first to spare the rod, I would be hating my son. By sparing the rod means I'm not using the rod. Let's say a child does something wrong. Let's take it from the inverse first. The big lie. There's a car in a driveway they stole. And they said, I didn't steal it. And we know they stole it, and the cops are here. Sparing the rod spoils the child, or hate your son. So if we don't instruct them in the way of God, of what is right and what is wrong in every situation, we are hating them. We are spoiling them. They have no map, no direction. There are prison studies that what prisoners in jail, one of the key things that they want most is to know the map. They want to know what's right. They want to know what's wrong. It is one of the ways they interpret love, as opposed to a liberalism that says, hey, do what you want. Go do your own thing. We don't know what our own thing is, let alone how to do it. That's why we got parents. Tell us what to do, what not to do. But proper instruction is freeing, not restricting. And you're trying them up since they're little, and the parents speaking into their life and watering and bringing out what's already there. Now, if there's something on the driveway, call the car, and they stole, then you are to bring out what was wrong and what is right about the action, make proper restitution, take the necessary means to fix that situation and get underneath it, tell them what God says about the issue. And they don't just walk. They have to earn the the responsibility back. They'll have to work out the damages that were due. They'll have to do what is necessary to redeem the family name. They'll have to go through each of those steps, for starters, to redeem this. So the rod is to bring the teaching of God to bear on that issue, but it is never a physical instrument that'll make the change. That just it gives pain, anger, and disenfranchisement, and there's no teaching. It's a figure of speech.
That's a good example for an older child, somebody that you can reason with. How about somebody that you can't? A small child, 2 years old, 3 years old, that throws a constant temper tantrum.
Yes.
Things like that, or bites other kids.
Sure. Let's go through a couple of steps. First, we need to love them. That's number one. A lot of those things are done to try to get something. But there are studies in different cultures and places in the world that have seen how there are children that have not cried, been happy, needs met, without a lot of things that most of us would consider indispensable in a modern civilized world. And they have found that those needs are met, and there's no greater need that a human soul needs at any and all stages of life than love. So love should never be withheld, and we should love them completely. That's number one. Number two, one of the things that people have learned with children and all ages is feedback. There's two kinds of feedback. There's positive feedback and negative feedback. If you feed a fire, it's going to grow. That has to absolutely be shown that it could get no results. It can't push your buttons. Now, it can't make you do something. It can't make you eventually buckle in after 45 minutes of crying. And then the child finds out, hey, if I cry 45 minutes, I can get this. And then they learn as they get older, if I do this and this, I can manipulate a boyfriend. If I do this and this, I can manipulate my wife. If I do this and this, I can manipulate my boss. And it keeps on becoming manipulative to get a need met. Everyone's going to get their needs met in healthy or unhealthy ways. That's a great desire of a soul. The greatest need, though, is love. So you to love them. Spanking doesn't do anything. It can just shove that down somewhere else and it'll pop up like a springboard somewhere else in their life at another place and another time. So number one, love. Number two, you do not give them any feedback. There's a verse in the Bible where God says about Ephraim at a certain point, the Jewish tribe, says, Ephraim, leave him alone. Imagine what it is to be left alone by God. Just leave them alone. What happens if a person yelling, screaming, trying to do something for attention, whatever it is, doesn't get that direct feedback after you've made sure that there's not something physiologically wrong, neurologically wrong, that there's some emotional need they're trying to get met in an unhealthy way? You're not to meet an unhealthy desire in an unhealthy way. That just breeds negative feedback and gives them something that they shouldn't get that way. So they should find that you need to show them that they, by that action, are separating themselves from what they really want to get. So their wrong action, biblically, stealing, lying, cheating, you'll never get what God has for you for free by trying to get it in an unhealthy way. So they'll find, boy, all these wrong things that I'm doing are not really giving me what I want. And pretty soon, when they don't get what they want, they're going to start to change. Same with an adult. If we do something in a certain way and I'm not going to get that back, what I think I'm supposed to get, then I'm going to say this behavior is not working and I'll have a self-realization. We can't make heaven do what we want. So when I line up with God, I can receive. When I don't line up with God, I don't get. That is the rod of discipline. It's the rod of judgment. God says this is the way it runs. These are the rules. If you don't obey them, you'll feel separation. You will self-inflict pain on yourself, and you'll feel separated from God, which is one of the worst separation you can have. That's very strong feedback to a soul. And you're going to turn around and say, boy, you know, all this drugs and drinking and everything that I do, whether 2 years or 82 years, yelling at parents back and forth, I'm not going to get that toy. I'm not going to get those things. And what would happen then if at a different time when the child gave the right type of responses and all they'd find, these things are here. What would happen if a child just got a gift on a particular day just by a hug and said, I love you. You didn't even have to do that. Here's a gift, but not for wrong behavior. They get nothing. They'll get your love. Your love should never diminish. But they can see that you're not pleased, because God is not pleased when we do not do well. And the rod is the teaching into their life. And if you spare that, you're saying, I hate you. I'm not going to let you understand what life's about. And you need the rod, which is the teaching of God, to have life. Amen?
Amen.